Well, I hope it was a comfortable afternoon for you. It was a beautiful afternoon. Turned out almost not to have any clouds in the sky whatsoever, which is a lot better than it has been for the last 6 weeks, it seems like. But we're glad to see you. Good to be with you. And hope that it's a blessing for you once again together. Take part in a worship service, a study of God's Word, be able to go to God in prayer with faithful brethren. It's always good to be able to be with you and be edified and blessed in that way. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, look with me over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, there you go. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I'd like to look at a passage that describes a lot of people. It describes Timothy. It describes Demas. It describes Paul. And describes us, and I think that might be a good study in itself. And turn the outline and the study around a little bit. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, we read beginning in verse 9. Paul makes this statement. He says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia." I think very easily we recognize this as a study about Demas. It focuses upon Demas, but it involves Paul, and it involves Timothy, and it involves us. And maybe there are many, many people who start off life with all the blessings and gifts and talents and abilities, and they just run life just perfectly, and they achieve and are able to astound people with their abilities, and then finish well. But then there's the rest of us. And sometimes we don't finish as well as we'd like. We start off great, and then we begin to have some problems. We have some struggles. And I think that comes a little bit closer back to us. Every one of us do have struggles. That's one of the reasons Jesus said in Luke 13, to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter in the straight gate. Greek word for strive is agonizomai, where we get agony. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. If there was no striving, if there was no struggle, if there was no effort, there would be no progress, there would be no maturity, there would be no achieving or no growth. It's the effort of pushing forward of self, and making changes in our life to achieve what God would have us to be and do. But as I said, as I read this verse, there were some, I thought about different ways of doing it. Because when you read this verse, at first it's very sad. And you just stop and think about it. This is 2 Timothy. And most people would recognize that 2 Timothy is the last letter of the Apostle Paul. If you back up to verse 6 says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul knew he wasn't long for this world. And most of the time we recognize that the last thoughts and maybe the last writings of a person who knew they weren't long for this world were certainly worthy of reflection. Certainly worthy of being something that would be remembered. So yeah, in a sense, there's this occasion where Paul is in a situation in verse 6 where he says, the time of my departure is coming. And he's telling Timothy, verse 6, be diligent to come to me, for Demas has done what? Demas has forsaken me. I mean, the word forsaken is a bad word. Any way you look at it. And as a matter of fact, you look, continue, just look at the word forsake. Vine says forsake means to forsake, to abandon, to leave in straits, or helpless. Strong says to leave behind in some place, or in a bad sense, to desert, to forsake, and to leave. I mean, Paul uses the word here, forsake. Demas, there may have been others, but he specifies Demas. He's forsaken me. And I mean right in the time when Paul is saying, my time of leaving this earth is here. And you would think that would be the most desperate time that a friend, a loved one, you know, I'm just talking about maybe a surgery or maybe a sickness. But Paul was recognizing I will not long for this world, and he has to ask of Timothy to be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. And yet, on the other hand, it's not just sad, it's the idea that it's so very close to every one of us. Because of what is said here, the application that is made, I do not for a moment think of Demas as being a monster. I don't think that at all. I think he was a whole lot closer to all of us, everyday Christians who are trying to serve the Lord, and life just got on top of it. And that brings it back to us. And that's the important part about, I think, considering just the context of this situation of Paul is in his last days and Demas decides, I'm leaving. Under any circumstances, that would be tough. But when someone who might have taught you the truth, someone you heard the truth from, and you decide that you would rather go in a different direction. Paul would have been a great example for Demas. Demas might have probably heard, as most people believe Thessalonica was his hometown, so probably he heard the gospel from Paul or one of Paul's associates. And now in this desperate hour, Demas decides he wants to leave, and yet that one who taught him the truth, Paul, could be such a tremendous example of all the changes and things that Paul went through in his life. You remember back in Acts, the 9th chapter, how does it describe Paul when he was going to go arrest Christians? I see Acts 9, verse 1. And then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. This guy was violent. Paul was a rough person to have to deal with in this day and time. He wasn't one of those things, yeah, I've heard the preaching of the Christians and I don't agree with it. And that was the end of it. Not Paul and not Saul. And then after his conversion he hears and sees Jesus and he's told to go into this city and it'll be told thee what thou must do. And he's converted to the truth. And look at the change. Let's see, down at verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And immediately began to have his own problem. Verse 21, then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not the one who destroyed those who call on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose and so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. How much and how close Demas was associated with him must have been pretty close from some other statements that Paul makes about him. And then he would have seen Paul's life. Look with me over in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Just this list that you have studied before is tremendous of what Paul was able to accomplish. And imagine Demas not only hearing of Paul, but being converted or being taught by Paul and watching his life. 2 Corinthians 11, just beginning in verse 24. Paul says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in the perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, and in perils among false brethren. Verse 27, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. Wow. What a lie. And then it comes to what we, back in our text here, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And then it comes to this that we read in verse 6. For the time of my departure has come. He says in verse 7, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. I mean, why wouldn't that have been just a tremendous example for Demas? And it was. But what was it about Demas that he just wasn't getting it? Something happened in Demas' life, and we just have a small description here of him. We know the Old Testament tells us better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And that's so very important. We can make a great start, but we have to have the ability to continue on, the stamina to continue to serve Him. I want to talk for just a little while some of the things that it says here about Demas the deserter, the one who forsook Paul. Just these words that's used of him. First of all, just look with me. His dedication seemed to have been conditional. Just again, read with me verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he has departed from Thessalonica. I just see in the word forsaken, his dedication. Something happened that turned him around from the time that he was a dedicated person, a Christian and a child of God. Paul actually had counted him as a faithful friend, a brother he could depend upon. Look with me if you're following along, next couple of books, Philemon. Paul writes the little letter to Philemon, and look at how he ends the letter to Philemon. He mentions Demas, except it's very different this time. Philemon, down at verse 23, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. Verse 24, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. How is Demas described here? He's described in the very association with Mark and Aristarchus and Dr. Luke. And all of them are described as fellow laborers. That's a different time than what we're reading here in 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, isn't it? But at some point back in the past, Paul had written this letter, and he had mentioned Demas along with Luke and several others. Look over in the book of Colossians. Colossians, the fourth chapter. Colossians, the fourth chapter. We'll read down just the one verse. Colossians 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. There were different times before 2 Timothy 4, weren't there? At one time, Demas was part of the fellow laborers of one of the greatest apostles the Lord ever had. There's no telling how big the entourage was of Paul. There could have been as many as 20 people just coming and going all hours of the day, all times of being people going and sending, and Paul could depend upon them to accomplish things. I mean, people that we all know of, associated with Paul, Timothy, Luke, Titus, Barnabas, Silas. I mean, how many of these people worked with him? And right in the middle of that was Demas. But something happened along the way, and we don't know what it is, and probably that's intentionally left out because everything's different for all of us. We can make great starts, and we have to be people who serve the Lord in faith always. Outward appearances can be deceiving. We may not know what's going on the inside. Back over in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Jesus is talking to the Jewish people there, his very brethren, and is describing them in just horrible terms. Verse 27, Matthew 23, verse 27, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. I don't know if that would describe Demas or not. There's a difference when Jesus was talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and then when at some point in time when Paul would talk about Demas, he's one of my fellow laborers in the gospel. Something happened. There was something going on the inside. In It's almost as I was thinking about it, somehow his dedication was conditioned upon. Somehow. Or it changed along the way. I'll serve the Lord as long as something. I'll serve the Lord if something. And one of those ifs came along. And all of a sudden he began to change his thoughts and his mind. So I don't know, maybe the problems begin to arise that was a daily dose of difficulties and questions and dealing with magistrates or officials or Jewish people. And it was something that was constant, and all of a sudden he didn't have the desire to continue on like he did at one time. And there became some point in his life where he says, that's it, I'm going to quit. I'm going home. And he did. And that's what I mean, that his story is a lot closer to us than you think. I don't think of him as a monster. I'm thinking of somebody who let life get on top of him. And one day he just quit. And I've had members of the church do that. And I said, wait a minute, hold it. Before you quit, stop and think, you're a servant of the Lord. You're not a servant of Paul. You're not a servant of me. You're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth. You're part of a team. You're a part of a team of saints, set apart ones, holy ones. You have a talent for God. Are you going to use your talent for God if you quit? But Demas did. Something happened. And Jesus warns his disciples about that, doesn't he? Remember Luke 9, verse 62? Whosoever puts their hands to the plow and looks back is not worthy of what? Of the kingdom. Jesus had that idea, and that was a picture the Jewish people had of, if you put your hands to the plow and look back, that you're not dedicated, you're not paying attention, you're not realizing what's going on. You don't understand the task that is before you. And even though he leaves, and this is coming back to our text here again, but Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Even though Paul felt Demas had forsaken him, Jesus, the Lord, didn't forsake Paul. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and we read verse 5. You remember that statement where he makes his statement? He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We just sang that song just a moment ago. I'll never leave or forsake my Lord. What a point. What an important point. Psalms 37, David says, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Let's not lose sight of who we're serving and who our Lord and who the Lord is. Let's not serve him conditioned on certain qualities. Let's just be dedicated and devoted to him, no matter what. Come back with me to 2 Timothy again. We look. And just look again as he describes it. For Demas has forsaken me, having what? Having loved. Boy, how powerful is love. Love can mold us in our thinking and set us on a road that we can accomplish unbelievable things. But if we get that love misplaced, we're in trouble. And it's very easy to see it. Husbands and wives should love one another. We're to love our neighbors. We're to be people that uphold and stand behind people, to be concerned about them and their problems. John 15, Jesus said, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That we are to love people, not things. And not get it turned around where we start loving things and using people. Something happens. And we're reading here that Demas has forsaken me. He has walked away from the Apostle Paul because he loved something. We're to love God with all our, all our strength. Matthew 22, love our neighbors as ourselves and love God with every fiber of our being, our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if I just suggest to you, if we could say that Demas had a love for God with every fiber of his heart, soul, mind, and being, he wouldn't have forsaken the Apostle Paul. That just seems to be the thought that's obviously made for us. Paul found, somewhere back down the line, Paul found no fault in Demas when he called him and described him along with Luke and the others as a fellow laborer. I mean, he evidently did some things well for a while, and he evidently was talented and able that Paul would invite him to come and be a part of his group that was trying to go and plant the gospel of Christ in many different places. Paul trusted in him. And then something happened. Time proved Demas really lacked a love of the truth, of the Lord, of the gospel, of the cause of the Lord. Paul's example should have been enough for Demas. And that would be the one thing that I would say. Demas, look at the guy you've been working with for such a long time. What was it that you were missing? What was it you weren't seeing? Or what was it you were looking at? To walk away from the Apostle Paul and his writings. We'll never know. But it comes to us all in some individual way. And that leads us to our last one. That his motive was worldly, isn't it? Read what we see. Verse 9, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved what? This present world. And that's where you and I come in. We live in this present world. That's our contact. Our contact is with this present world. We live and move and have our being right here. We run businesses, we take care of families, we pay bills, and we deal with people and stand in line at Walmart and everything else in the world. That's just where we move and live. It's just this present world. And we might describe it as that world which is temporary, like Paul describes it over in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. He says in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This present world. And it's amazing the power that it has. Simply because it's present. 24 hours a day. That's why John has to say, love not this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Don't be involved in that. Look at this life and look at this world through the eyes of faith. As I've said, everyone's going to be tried. This present world will come at every one of us differently. What might tempt you might not tempt me. What tempt me may not tempt you. It might come at you with the temptation of wealth. It might come at you with the temptation of fame, or Hollywood, or something like that. It might come at you with the temptation of power and responsibility and authority. It might come at you in so many different ways, but still it's all going to boil itself down to this present world. Excuse me. Back in Luke 16, excuse me again. In Luke 16, and you read down at verse 13, Jesus says something here that the devil knows very, very well, and that you and I should never forget. Luke 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Somehow, somewhere, Demas began to serve out of duty rather than love, rather than being devoted to the Lord. And he departed. And that's That's the passage that we read when Demas says he has departed for Thessalonica. It's interesting that over in Philippians, the first chapter, Paul uses the same word, depart. But he says over there, I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be where? And be with the Lord. A different idea of departing. Something happened, and we don't know what it is, and the application for us is that recognize this world as being seen as something that is almost innocent. Paul tells, or the Lord tells us over in Matthew 10, a famous statement you have heard many times. Matthew 10, verse 39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And it's kind of a Hebraism, but it's he who finds his life, or we might say he who saves his life in this world will lose it. Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? It's a fascinating story of what happens back over here in 2 Timothy 4. But the point that I was wanting to make was, let's just look at Demas, and I hesitated even to say him, he deserted the Lord. Somewhere along the line, he got mixed up and he made the wrong decision. And he departed Paul and he went to Thessalonica. And I hope that somewhere down the line, in a few months or a few years, he winds up in a hog pen of the world. And as it says in Luke 15, he came to himself. And he said, what in the world am I doing? And he got it all straightened out. And he came back. Maybe he was not associated with Paul because Paul's gone. Maybe not associated with the others, but he got it straightened out for himself. Demas deserting Paul was very costly. It was costly to the fellowship with God. It was costly in that it did great harm in the work that was trying to be done in preaching the gospel, and it did harm to the world in which they were trying to preach the gospel. But I still like to think of the idea, maybe he got it straightened out. Mark made a mistake. Peter made a mistake. Demas made a mistake. He got it straightened out and came back. Well, what a wonderful way to end the story. But we don't know. Time for a complete dedication is now. When we think of how we live our life, my point is, I'd want you to be so understanding of what this present world does. Because it's constant and it's something we can touch it. And that's why we have faith that we read the Word of God. And we recognize that it's something we must accept and live by. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I hope the study's been helpful for you. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, we extend to you heaven's invitation. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, said to his Jewish brethren who needed to understand who Christ was, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's what we have to do, and that's the answer we've got to give today. And if there is a person here, it's a child of God, look back over your life and say, wait a minute, maybe I've slipped back into the wrong ways of thinking, or maybe my life is not revealing itself to God. Maybe I'm not living the way God would have me live. Let me read one last verse for you, and I'll just read it for you, and you might know where it is. But Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he makes this statement. He says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Demas couldn't say that. Let's hope he got it turned around. Let's let he passed on from this life doing the things that glorify God. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come as we stand and sing?
To follow Jesus, I have decided.